नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यम्। We're reading from the 6th canto, 4th chapter, text 13th. Antardeheshu bhutanam Atmaste harir ishvarah Sarvam tadhishnam ikshadvam Evam vastoshito yasau. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated as a super soul within the cores of the hearts of all living entities. Whether moving or non-moving, including men, birds, animals, trees, and indeed all living entities, therefore you should consider everybody as residence or temple of the Lord. By such vision you will satisfy the Lord. You should not angrily kill these living entities in the form of trees. Purport. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita and confirmed by all the Vedic literatures, Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Riddesha Arjuna Tishtadi Brahman Sarva Bhutanam Yantra Rudhani Mayaya. The super soul is situated within everyone's heart, and therefore, since everybody's body is the residence of the Supreme Lord, one should not destroy the body because of unnecessary envy. That will dissatisfy the super soul. Soam told the Prachitas that because they had tried to satisfy the super soul, now they should not displease them. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai. Hare Krishna. Seeking the blessings of all the assembled devotees. So today's purport is based on this very basic understanding of the soul. The presence of the soul and the super soul within the body. So this verse is quoted, Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Riddeshi Arjuna Shishti. So it is speaking about this purport, it is speaking about how one must respect all living entities, irrespective of what is the form of the body. Like here it is said that one must respect even the trees. In the Ramayana, just recently I was reading, when Lord Ram, he finishes his exile and he comes back to the kingdom, it is explained, there is a pastime, that how he tells Lakshman to go and see if there is someone asking for some help, justice. And Lakshman goes to the entrance and he finds one dog coming for help. And the dog was bleeding on the head. So Lakshman, he goes and reports to Lord Ram, saying that there is a dog here. He has come for some assistance. So Lord Ram says, yes, immediately, bring him in. So then the dog comes and then he, asks the dog. There's a conversation between Lord Ram and the dog. And the dog explains that how he was hit by a stone thrown by a Brahman. And the dog complains that, I need justice, I need punished, this Brahman should be punished. And then there is a whole discussion about how that Brahman was punished, in what way, etc. So we see in the Vedic literatures how the kings at that time, because they had this very basic understanding about the presence of the soul and the super soul within the body, they would actually respect every living entity, irrespective of, what is the shape of the body. That's why Prabhupada would condemn the modern democratic system, which is based on atheistic principles, lack of the knowledge of the spirit soul, where they would only give justice to the human beings, and then they would, cut the trees or they would slaughter animals. So Prabhupada would use this example, that just like if a person, a human being is born in a country, naturally he's having that nationality of that country. Say if you're born in India, then we are Indians. See, we are eligible to certain rights. Prabhupada would say, similarly, if an animal is born in a kingdom, he's also having the birthright because he's born. He's also a citizen of the country. So why do you make such distinctions that you give rights to the human beings and you send the animals to the slaughterhouses? So today we see that there are organized slaughterhouses and killing thousands and thousands of animals. Thousands of trees are cut. You see this. So there is a discrepancy in the way the administration is going on today, because it is not based on this principle, essential principle of the understanding of the soul. So one cannot be equal in the dispersion of justice to the people if this basic fundamental understanding of the soul is not present. There has to be a defect in the administration, in the way laws are enforced, if this basic understanding of the presence of the soul and the super soul is not there. So people today are basically misguided about their own identity and, you know, the identities of others, and therefore you see there's so much of confusion and so much of crime that is going on. So understanding Krishna or ultimate perfection of life is out of the question if one does not understand this basic does not have this basic understanding of who we are. In the Ramayana, just recently we were having in Brahmachari class, you know, a very wonderful section of how Lord Ram and Lakshman, he was coming toward Trishyamukh mountains, and Sugriva and Hanuman were there situated. They were in hidings. They were trying to protect themselves from Vali. And it is explained that Sugriva became a little guarded when he saw that these two strangers have come into their kingdom, into their area. So it is explained that Sugriva and Hanuman were living there trying to protect themselves from Vali, because Vali had got a curse that he would not be able to enter into that place, into that area. If he would enter there, then he would die. So Sugriva, in order to protect himself, he was living there. So he was a little afraid that who are these two people? Probably they have been sent by Vali. So let's make very sure. So he sends Hanuman to find out who this person is, who are these two strangers are. So Hanuman goes disguised as a Brahmin, and he goes there and he starts inquiring from Lord Ram. He says, who are you? You look like sages. You are wandering around in the forest just like sages. But you all don't look like sages. You all look like some Kshatriyas. Who are you? And starts inquiring into the details. He's a spy. But the more harder he's trying to inquire about this person, these two strangers' identity, the more, you know, confused he's getting. The more difficult it becomes to understand who these two personalities are. And eventually it so happens that Hanuman ends up revealing his own identity. He's saying, by the way, I am like a Brahmin. I've come as a Brahmin. But I'm not Brahmin. I am Hanuman. I am the messenger of, you know, Sugriva. And I have come here to find out who you are. Now please tell me who you are. And then Lord Ram says, I am Lord Ram. And he is Lakshman. He reveals his identity. So it is explained, the acharyas give commentary, that as long as we are disguised, as we disguise ourselves in these various disguises, you know, as being whatever, you know, I am a man, or I am a woman, or I am a Hindu, I am a Muslim, or I am an Indian, or I am an American, or I am a Chinese, or I am a Japanese, or I am educated, I am illiterate. So all these are actually disguises. So this basic understanding of who we are has to be there in order to actually understand who the Lord is. We see that everything changes. Even the fact that we say that, you know, we are men or we are, you know, boys, that also may change. Like it is explained that there's an example in the West that there was a lady, and she was not very happy being a lady. So she got a sex change. She got herself operated and she became a man. And after being a man, she was not really happy. So she again got her sex changed into being a woman back again. And again she was not happy and satisfied. So then this happened around 5 times she got her sex changed. So we see that even our identity of being a girl or boy or, all these also will change. Everything changes. If we say we are young, very soon, in due course of time, that will also change. We'll become old. If we feel that, we are Indians. If you live in America for some time or we go to Sri Lanka, then we become Sri Lankans or something like that. So all these identities that we are identifying ourselves as changes. And what a paradox. Like when we go for, say admission or we go for something, we give our identification. We say Hindu, we say, Indian, we say mother tongue spoken Malayalam or whatever, we give our identifications. We are 24 years old or we are, we are BE or we are BCom or we are MBBS or we are BAMS, something like that, we give, we are PhDs. So we give such identifications of ourselves. I am a businessman, or I am a housewife or I am a, whatever. So we give these identifications ourselves and we actually identify ourselves. If we are asked, who are we? We say, okay, I'm so and so. So it is explained that all these things can change, isn't it? Everything that we identify ourselves with changes. What a paradox. So as long as we are identifying ourselves with these changeable things, identifications, we cannot understand God, Krishna. We are disguised. That is very important. So therefore, we have to actually identify ourselves in our true constitutional position as being a soul, as a servant of Krishna. As it is said, Jivera Swarup Hoye Krishner Nityadas. That is our true identity. That is something which will never change. And as long as now we start identifying as our true identity as the servant of Krishna, then immediately the Lord reveals himself. Just like Hanuman, when he revealed his identity, that I am a servant, then immediately Lord Ram revealed his identity. So similarly, in order to understand and in order to become free from envy towards others, we have to understand we are the spirit soul. We have to understand that others are also spirit souls. We are all eternally related as servants of Krishna. And the Lord is situated within everyone's heart. And in being situated in such a manner, then we will never envy anyone. And actually self-realization becomes possible. In this pastime of Ramayana, there is a demon called as Surasa. When Hanuman was jumping from the southern tip of the India to the Lanka, it explained that that is the jump of the sadhaka to achieve pure devotional service. So when he was jumping, one of the demoness which came there was in the name of Surasa. So she became, opened her mouth and she was sitting like that. And she said, told Hanuman, Hanuman, please enter into my mouth. I want to eat you. So Hanuman said, wait, I am on a mission. I want to accomplish a little mission. I want to get back Sita, deliver her to Ram. And after I finish this mission, then I will come back and enter into your mouth. She said, no, I have got a benediction from Brahma. That everyone who crosses this area must enter into my mouth. Hanuman said, yes, but let me finish my work. He said, nothing doing, you have to enter. So Hanuman, he thinks, I have to escape. So he becomes very big, he enlarges his body. And this Surasa demon also enlarges her mouth. So he becomes 10 yojanas, the demoness becomes 20 yojanas. Then Hanuman becomes 100 yojanas, and the demoness also becomes 100 yojanas. So like that, there was a competition. So like that, when there was a competition, Hanuman becomes very small immediately and enters into the mouth and comes out. And he says, see, look, I fulfilled the benediction of Brahma. Now let me go. So the demoness became very happy and tells Hanuman that, okay, you can go. You are very intelligent. I am happy and pleased with you. May you receive the fruit of your endeavors. So, when this was spoken, it is explained that the Acharya explained that this duel between Hanuman and Surasa is like the competition between people when it comes to serving the Supreme Lord. Conflict and competition due to false pride. So, in the service of Krishna also, many times, there can be false pride. Like, you know, there's a story of this Brahman, he was doing his Gayatri, and he was sleeping. He forgot to do his Gayatri, and he was very pakka Brahman, doing his Gayatri at proper times, never forgot, never missed his Gayatri. So, what happened was that one man comes and wakes him up, very ugly looking man, and he says, look, you have to chant a Gayatri. So he looks at this man and he thanks him and he starts chanting his Gayatri. And after chanting his Gayatri, he thanks this man and he says, who are you, by the way? So he says, I am Kali personified. So he says, you are Kali personified. How is that you are telling me to, reminding me to chant Gayatri and reminding me to perform religious principles? So he said, because you are a puffed up Brahman. And if you would have missed your chanting Gayatri, then you would have become very humble. And my job is to make people proud. Because as long as one is proud, one cannot be, religious for that matter. So I was doing my job. So I therefore reminded you. So therefore, this pride and competition is often the problem even amongst devotional circles. So therefore, even when we practice devotional life, there can be an element in the sadhaka, the element of pride may come, that how religious I am, how pious I am, how pure I am. So, you know, as Baldev Prabhu was quoting in his Brahmachari classes, that how when a new sadhaka comes into the devotional line, he thinks he's very humble. He's actually very humble, and anything he sees, he touches to his head, he's very humble, offering obeisances to anyone and all that he sees. He considered himself Das, 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 Anu Das. And after some time, one Das reduces, becomes Das, Anu Das. And after some time, again, one more Das reduces, becomes Das. And after some time, he starts thinking, now I am become Prabhu. And later on, he starts thinking, now I am going to become Mahaprabhu. I have become Mahaprabhu. So this happens. That previously, when we come to the devotional life, we take, everything is new, everything is very exciting. You know, everything is like, we feel that we have to create an impression. You know, we have to inspire people like that. So with that new sentiments, with those kind of freshness we experience, we think that we should be humble and things like that. But later on, when we get to know things, we learn all the arts and all the techniques, we become experts in things, then we feel that, you know, we have become something. We have some authority. Now people should respect us. So in due course of time, our humility also is gone. We think that, oh, I've heard everything. I know all the philosophy. I know what you're going to speak next. Everything is calculated. Everything is already calculated. We've heard everything. We become experts. What is the need to hear it again? So the thing is, that becomes the mentality. So even though we see that this purport is speaking about Dehinosmini Yatha Dehe, you know, something like Sarva Bhutan, it is said, Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Hridesha Arjuna Tishthati, is the most basic verse. But Dehinosmini Yatha Dehe, and these basic verses are the verses which are quoted the most by Srila Prabhupada. And actually, unlike mundane subject matters, we cannot stop hearing these words of the Shastras. Because spiritual life means not to hear for sake of getting knowledge, but to hear to realize that knowledge. So we may have heard 100,000 times, you are not the body, but how far have you realized this? We are far from realizing this aspect. So as one advances, when we have heard everything, there's a tendency to become a little, you know, fatigued on keeping on hearing the same thing over and over again. Things start becoming a little repetitive. So that is a problem. So we see that how in Jiva Goswami's pastimes, when there was Digvijay Pandit who comes there and he starts, you know, boasting about his achievements and accomplishments. So he goes to Sanatan and Jiva Goswami and he requests that have a debate. But Rupa and Sanatan tells him that it's not possible. We are not interested in a debate. You are a scholar. We declare that you are the scholar. What do we have to do? You please tell. So he says, you sign this agreement that you have been defeated by me, and then I will go. So Rupa and Sanatan immediately sign the agreement and they go. And when he meets Jiva Goswami, this Digvijaya Pandit says, just look, I defeated your gurus, Rupa and Sanatan. I am such a great scholar. So Jiva says, how is that possible? Impossible. How can you defeat Rupa and Sanatan? They are the topmost scholars. They only agreed to signing that agreement because of humility. If you dare, you debate with me. So the scholar, he says, okay. So then he starts debating with Jiva Goswami, and Jiva Goswami thoroughly dismantles him. And he's thoroughly defeated. So when he was defeated, when the news goes to Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, then they feel that this is not good. What you've done is out of false pride. In Vrindavan, if you have to stay, there cannot be any false pride. So you have to leave Vrindavan immediately. And Jiva Goswami had to leave Vrindavan. Even though he didn't do it out of false pride. He did it out of, to glorify his guru. So he was but still chastised by his guru, and he took it in the right spirit. So therefore, we can learn from here, that how, from Jiva Goswami, that how a sadhaka must be careful to be free from false pride. In the story of Nimai, you know, he writes a grammar book, writes a very wonderful grammar book. And along with him, there's another colleague of his also writing a grammar book. So when this colleague of his in school, he happens to read Nimai's grammar book, he sees, my God, what is this? This is too much. You can imagine grammar written by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Unmatched. So this, he starts crying. So Nimai says, why are you crying? He says, because I have also written grammar book, and your grammar is far more greater and advanced than my grammar book. There's no way anyone is going to touch my grammar book just because you have written this. So Nimai says, don't worry, don't worry. I will throw my grammar book into the Ganges. You can publish yours. So we see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nimai, he's trying to show that how the sadhaka or how a person must not be eager for name, fame and prestige. So as Gaurang Prabhu was telling in one of the lectures, that how when one waters a tree, then one has to pour water into the soil, and through the soil the water goes to the roots. So the soil actually represents the devotees. Soil represents the devotees. So we need the help of devotees. We need to be in the association of devotees without envying and without competition in order to survive in Krishna consciousness. So this is a very important principle. As there's a story of the tortoise and the hare, you know, that the hare and the tortoise were having a competition. So they both have competition, and we know that ultimately the hare wins. So the tortoise says, okay, let us have another competition. And this time what the tortoise does is that he makes a path through the river so the hare cannot cross. So ultimately the tortoise wins. So then the hare says, no, I don't give up. Let's have another competition. And this time he makes a path where the tortoise cannot pass. So then this time the hare defeats the tortoise. And then we see that this competition goes on and on and on and on. So ultimately they get fed up and they think, where is it going to end? Okay, let us establish a higher principle. Let us break our own records. So then they come together and then they run. So when they run, the hare takes the tortoise on his back, runs to the banks of the river, and then the hare sits on the back of the tortoise, crosses the river, and then again the tortoise sits on the back of the hare, and then he crosses. So that way, both of them teaming up together, they break their own records. So similarly, it is explained that when people get together and serve Krishna, without envy and without competition, then there can be better service that is done. Better service that can be done. So just like, you know, when we study in science, we have this, you know, electromagnetism. You know, electromagnetism. It's like you take an iron core and you take a coil, you wind it up with a wire and you pass electricity through it. So what happens when you pass electricity? The iron core becomes magnetic. It becomes attractive. So this iron core as compared to the devotee. And the coil is like the association of devotees. And the current is compared to the mercy of the Lord. So when the mercy flows in the association of devotees, then every person becomes attractive. Attractive to preach and attract more people to the movement. Because the people outside are actually very frustrated. Frustrated due to the anarthas, the pride, the envy that is going on outside in the material world. So when they come to the association of devotees and they see a very pure environment and which they can see very clearly, like Srinathji Prabhu was telling in one of his lectures, that how when he met Srila Prabhupada, being a businessman, he was very shrewd and he wanted to see where are the loopholes in this saint. And he was trying to find faults. But when he met Srila Prabhupada, he could not find a single fault. He's completely pure. So we see that how when a purity is there, then it immediately acts like an attractive potential. The mercy of the Lord acts to the devotees and we are able to attract more and more people to the Krishna consciousness movement. So a very pure environment which is free from competition and envy is very conducive for the propagation of Krishna consciousness. So therefore it is said, therefore since everyone's body is the residence of the Supreme Lord, one should not destroy the body because of unnecessary envy that will dissatisfy the super soul. And that was what Soma had told Prachitas, that because they had tried to satisfy the super soul, now they should not displease him. So with that I'll stop here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya, Gaur Bhaktavrinda ki jaya, Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bhava.